This is artist Josh Burcham, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Excellent. Yes.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers. Get it? That's the name of the show.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, Superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 460. That's right, folks, 460 episodes of the pull bag. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is my beastly cohort, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yes. Hello there.
And tonight, we're all going to get a little bit of thicker skin because it is time for us to talk about issues 9 and 10 of IDW Publishing's Transformers Beast Wars. And as I said, issue 9 is entitled Thicker Skin, so Pod, the two-parter, issue 7 and 8 was only a two-parter, which is surprising, but it's okay. I didn't mind it. I was just expecting issue 9 to be a part 3 kind of thing. But this one is entitled Thicker Skin. The main cover, cover A, is Skuld underwater in her beast form. Very, very cool. Absolutely love that. And yeah, written by Eric Burnham, art by Josh Burcham. Josh has returned. He will be on the book for, I think, a while now. At least the next two or three issues.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more. Letters by Jake M. Wood. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer. Editor is Jasmine Joyner. And supervising editor is David Marriott. We open with Dinobot. What in the pit is that stuff? And this is the recap for the story so far, so we don't really need to go over this, because if people listen to our last Beast Wars episode, you'll know what happened.
Exactly.
We actually start at the dark side, home base of the Predacons. And Megatron says,
"Are we in the recap part?
No,
before
we are, no. We are in the story.
Okay. Are you talking about the part where he says dozens of new recruits?
No, before that.
It was Tarantulas.
No.
Celebrate.
Yes. Okay. Let me restart that. The dark side, home base of the Predacons, and Megatron says,
Celebrate, Predacons. Celebrate the expansion of our forces.
Yes, Megatron, yes. So he recaps the story of, you know, how Tarantulas did the code and rewrote it and everything like that. Of course, he's like, and of course, Tarantulas didn't tell me about this until it was too late. Now
yeah,
you can do
it.
Of course, he kept this plan to himself until his first success, Black Arachnia, arrived on our doorstep. But I'm sure that was a simple oversight, wasn't it? Hmm?
Yeah. Yes, Megatron.
I love the writing on this.
Yes.
And Megatron's got himself an Energon drink in the previous part, which I didn't catch. It's either an Energon drink or he's eating it. I don't know, but
it's an Energon cube where he says dozens of new recruits. It's an Energon cube.
I like the fact that he continues to kind of banter, and then you've got little potshot comments by Terrorsaur, which kind of alludes to the fact that in Power Surge, where
He goes, what is it?
Ready for another lesson in leadership, Terrorsaur?
Mm-hmm. In Power Surge, which I think that this was a fun callback.
Mm-hmm. Can you do Terrorsaur?
I can, but he's a little loud.
Okay, he's a little loud. All right.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think it would have been an easier if we just traveled back in time to destroy our enemies before they were even online.
That's the last thing we'd want.
Why? It'd be efficient.
Mm-hmm. Efficient? Maybe. But we would have undone ourselves.
What? But that?
The past is a delicate foundation. If you remove the wrong piece, everything it holds will fall. You lack foresight, Terrorsaur. One day the wrong decision will kill you. But let's hope that day isn't today. I have need of you. And Terror, and Waspinator, too. Yes, I need you to go looking for those pods.
But this planet is huge. You can't expect us to cover the whole thing.
I love that. And the reason why I tried to do Terrorsaur's voice is because I wanted us to do a back and forth, because Terrorsaur is kind of like the Thanos of this universe.
Stupid and, you know.
Well, okay, well, no, but...
But he is smart in some regard.
The whole line of, why? It'd be efficient. Like, that's the... I don't think you've watched it yet, and I don't know if you will, but the animated series What If on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, I've watched it all.
Okay, so, you know, in that, they say, you know, Thanos is in there, and, you know, he's like, it would be efficient, you know, and then somebody else, you know, argues the fact, he's still like, but it would be efficient. Again, I love Josh's art. I love the focus on the characters more so than the backgrounds. I love that they're just simple colors, and the colors, even though they are dark colors on almost all, like the only bright spot in the Predacon, and I think this is a view screen. I do not think this is a painting, but I think this is a window or a view screen to the outside where Megatron says, that's the last thing we'd want. Right behind him is a view screen of what's outside, and it's all like orange and that kind of color, which, you know,
it looks like a desert.
Yeah. And it's a contrast to the maroon pinkish color of the inside of the ship with the red couch, and it just looks weird seeing Tarantulas and Scorponok sitting on a goddamn couch. That's the only negative I have. This comic, like, that just looks weird seeing Beast Wars bots sitting on a couch. I don't know, but yes. And, you know, Terrorsaur goes on and on and on, and Black Arachne is like, you know, she's explaining about the pods, and he's complaining to her and to Megatron, why'd you use their ship as a landmark? Are we just supposed to trust this isn't a trick? She just jumps up and attacks him. She doesn't even respond if she jumps up and attacks him. And she says that she used their location because that's where she was at the time. If I wanted to do you harm, I wouldn't need a trick. Terrorsaur. And this is where we get Skuld coming into her story. And I like this because we're seeing a new character. We're seeing how a new character interacts with the characters that we'd have already known. And, you know, Skuld goes on her journey, and she's running low on Energon. And what I like this time around is that I said a couple issues back that the computers, I don't know if it's their personalities, if it's the robot's personalities that, you know, the computer, you know, kind of mimics or whatever, but like the computer with Dinobot was like really, really, really just asinine sounding. And this one with Scold is kind of helpful. And we see, you know, oh, well, if you transform into your beast mode and you eat, you know, other fish, you'll get Energon.
And then she comes across the stasis pod, and I love how it's got a red error. Error, hatch obstruction.
Yep. What I love.
She just picks it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She just picks it up. Yeah, exactly. What I love about this is, you know, we talk about how simple the backgrounds are above the water. You know, again, I think this series is character focused, is bot focused, is beast focused. We don't need, you know, but this underwater background, like when she first dives in, we see the fish swim to the left and we see all this other stuff and we see the splash as she comes in. I love that. I think that's great. Oh, that is so cool. Yeah, so she just picks it up and sets it down and alt form found, pod opening, ? I'm free! I don't know what Razor Beast sounds like because I've never seen him before. I know of him, but...
Well, he's never been in IDW before.
Has he?
Yeah.
Okay,
the
well,
previous Beast series that came
out. Okay, alright. I don't know. But that's okay, though. I'm perfectly fine with... That's the one thing I love about this series, with them exploring the pods that were in orbit that are now on the planet.
Well, now they can introduce characters that we haven't seen.
Right. Exactly. And Razor Beast is supposed to be a Maximal or a Predacon?
He's a Maximal.
Okay. That, I again, should have done my research, folks, but there have been things going on lately. As you've heard in other podcasts, actually, you heard the whole story in episode 459 with Kelly Thompson and guest Kelly Thompson and my co-host Allison. Anyway, so Razor Beast is a Maximal. He assumes that Scold is a Maximal. which that's not exactly, but I mean, Scold so far has never really, like...
She's never really asserted that Predacon personality.
She's not, like... You look at Dinobot, you look at Black Arachnia, they both have...
They both exude Predacon.
Exude Predacon, however, they both eventually went Maximal, at least in the old series, in the old cartoon series. I just... And especially with the story that is told later that we'll get to, I just don't see Scold staying a Predacon. If she does, something really horrible is going to have to happen to her for her to go really, truly evil. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So we break into the – and I really – this is another thing I kind of don't like, but okay. Isn't this interesting? We've witnessed a birth.
The Vok.
Oh, the Vok. I like how Josh and Eric write them. I like how Eric writes them. I like how Josh illustrates them. Basically, they stop time, sort of. At least, you know, because everything else goes black and white, and they are in red and white. So it's like we're frozen in time kind of thing. But I just don't. I just don't care about the Vok. I never have.
No. Well, I liked them when they showed up in Beast Wars because usually you knew you were in for a really interesting storyline. However, they weren't very well fleshed out. And I guess had they had a season 4, they were planning on bringing more of the Vok back in, considering what happened with Tigerhawk. And then they were also planning on having like the Autobots and Decepticons wake up and kind of join the fight.
Yeah.
Along with the Beast characters. So it would have been interesting, and but we never really got that payoff. And I feel like this is their opportunity to kind of make them shine a little bit and kind of explain why they're just kind of creepily hanging out with the the Transformers.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, so basically the whole Vok thing here is, I want to see how these two react under pressure. Will they bond or will they break when faced with danger? I propose an experiment. There is a pack of iron wolves nearby. Now, iron wolves, weren't they Cybertronian?
I am not aware of those creatures, although they could have been in the old Marvel Comics line.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head, and I'm going to look it up. So what else are you liking or disliking about this issue so far?
Well, I like the camaraderie that these two have kind of put together, even though, because Razor Beast, you can tell, is clearly all there.
Yeah.
And, you know, mentally, he's not aware of her, but he just assumes she's just another protoform that woke up. Because some of the Maximals that were put to sleep were blanks, or, you know, just kind of decided to forfeit what they were prior and be put to sleep. And then other ones, they retain all their information. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens with these two, because they've formed a camaraderie throughout this issue, and that's been kind of nice, even though it's Maximal Predacon. It almost kind of gives you that Silver Bolt, Black Arachnia vibe without, you know, the opposite one wanting to shoot them and just be kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether to shoot you or to kiss you.
I'm a black widow spider, you idiot. I can do both.
Yeah, exactly. And Razor Beast says, I think I'm going to need an update, Scold. Why? Because my internal sensors are reading way too much energon radiation in the atmosphere, and because Predacons almost never come on exploratory missions.
Well, and technically not wrong. She needed nourishment.
True. Clearly, my information is behind the times. Are you suspicious or something? Of something? No, just curious. Yeah, I like this. I like how
coy they're kind of playing.
Yeah, I don't even think it's
coy. It's like they almost know, but they're just kind of like, there's no reason to fight.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like two strangers meet in a bar, and they know that there's something there in the background, that they're supposed to hate each other or whatever, but they just don't care because they just want to live, I guess. I love how she does lie to him, though. I have a lot of questions, but first, is there a base to report to? Nothing nearby, I mean. Well, I don't mind a walk. Lead the way. And I love this. I think this is really cool. I think it's fun. It's interesting. Again, it is not just... Not that I ever thought this comic was going to be this. It's not just doing a comic version of season one or season two or of the show at all. It's taking the characters and putting them at a different time. Hell, at this point, with this, I think it's with this specific issue or maybe the next one, we're not even sure if this is Earth. Because, I mean, even though it looks like Earth and it has water and it has fish and it has trees, like,
we don't have any discernible way of knowing.
Right, because Megatron said, you know, we didn't go back in time, or we didn't mess with time, or we didn't do this or that with time. So I don't even know, and I don't, you know. Honestly, I don't care because I'm enjoying this way too much. And we get Skuld's backstory because, you know, Razor Beast says, tell me about yourself, Skuld. You're literally the only friend I have, and I'd like to get to know you. Did you always want to explore other worlds? No, I wanted to be an artist.
Which, that was out of left field. I did not see that coming at all.
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. You know. And I really, really do hate... I really, really do hate. I don't know. I don't think this is Rat Trap, Rhinox, and Primal in this flashback who are talking to Skuld.
It doesn't look like them.
No, it doesn't. It
reminds me of, like, Grimlock and, like, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
And some others that maybe are unsavory battle types.
Yeah. Yeah, so these three, whomever they are, because they don't say who they are, you know, what do you think you're doing here? Yeah, Predacon can't possibly appreciate art. Shouldn't you be in a mine somewhere or a gladiator pit? And she says that she eventually gave it up, and we see, you know,
Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're going to call, did they call him Gnash Teeth?
I don't know.
Because I'd be kind of interested to know if they did that, but I know that's one of the names they've given him in his before he was Megatron.
Mm. And they run into the Iron Wolves, so we get back from the flashback, and the Iron Wolves and Razor Beast, you know, have a fight, and he and Skuld take care of them, dispatch them, you know, without any further ado, kind of thing. Actually, Razor Beast gets pretty badly beaten up by them.
Oh, he gets stasis locked.
He ends up in stasis lock, but Skuld eventually, you know, she helps him, she saves him. And again, I like this. I like that we're not just, like, we have a story here of new characters. And normally, I'm not a person that likes new stuff, normally, most of the time, especially with established, you know, fiction. Canon. You know, canon kind of stuff. But this thing is really friggin' cool. And it's so interesting to see just how well Mr. Burnham writes this and how well Josh Burcham, you know, draws this and colors it. And oh, man. And oh, Razor Beast. Ooh.
He almost died, like, right from the get-go.
Yep, pretty much. He stayed to fight when anyone else would have abandoned me. I need to help him. The next panel, I said before we even started recording, folks, I'm really just using the pullback main featured banner art. But right now, I almost want to screen cap this panel and just have you make that the featured art, because we have tiny little Megatron and tiny little Tarantulas in her head. They look like Beanie Babies.
He's not made for conquest. You can't keep him.
Oh, can I strip him for parts?
Razor Beast deserves survival. There is only one thing to do. And, yep, she brings him to the Maximal base. And,
which is like a death sentence for her, technically.
Technically, yes.
If they were more vindictive, that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dinobot is. I mean, yeah. And she immediately says, all right. He says, all right, you've got our attention. What is it you want, Skuld? I don't want to talk to you, traitor. So she doesn't want shit to do with Dinobot.
No.
You know, and she explains to them what's going on and all of that, and Optimus Primal says, she goes on and says, he was the stasis pod's occupant, seriously injured fighting Iron Wolves at my side. Dinobot's like, Iron Wolves, I hate this planet. So they must have come into contact with them before.
Which makes me think the Vok screwed with the Transformers before.
Probably. And, you know, Optimus Primal says, I thought we were at war, and Predacons take pride in showing an enemy no mercy. Why bring him to us? I owe him my life, and your ship was closer. Now, will you see to him, or would you like to hide behind more of your assumptions about Predacons? We'll do what we can. Good, then we're done here.
It's funny because you can almost see the writing on the wall for her to be a Maximal.
Yeah.
Oh, because
yeah.
Because of the fact that she wanted to be an artist and she wasn't allowed to because she was a Predacon.
Mm-hmm.
And but she also has a chip on her shoulder over the Maximals because they wouldn't allow it either.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, go back to your mine, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I love this exchange between her and Dinobot. Your voice, you have not stuttered nor mumbled once in talking to us, and the only reason I can think of it is that you're not in a negative environment. You could do what I did, Scold, become a Maximal. She just shoves him. Maximals only put on a kind face to hide their cruelty. With Megatron and the others, at least I'll always know where I stand. You'd better go back to hiding behind that shield with your new friends, traitor, because the next time I see you, I won't be this nice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-huh. I love this issue. I think this issue is really great. I love Scold. I can't wait to see more with her. Between the writing and all of that, man, this was so fun.
Yeah, it definitely was something I wasn't expecting, and they slam dunked it.
Absolutely, they have. Any other thoughts you have before we give ratings and all that good stuff?
I don't think so.
I hate to say it, folks, but GCR Universal Rating System, got to give it a 5 out of 5 because, like, even the little bits, even the Valk, even the weirdness of seeing Predacons sitting on a couch, that still doesn't take away from the excellence that the writing and the art is, because what Burnham did in this was give us Skull's backstory it flows so well to the point of you have Skull finding Razor Beast and helping him, and Razor Beast is a Maximal and she's a Predacon, and it's kind of like this star-crossed kind of thing without being, you know, the whole icky lovers part of the star-crossed syndrome thing, but it's one of those things where it's two bots, you know, one saves the other, one feels that they owe the other a debt, you know, to return kind of thing. As you said, we see her backstory with everyone basically saying, oh, you can't be an artist because you're this and you're that and blah, blah, blah. And just the way that it's written and the way that it's drawn and colored, it's just so, so good. What are you going to give it?
I think so far I've given everything a 5 out of 5. But
yeah.
I could be wrong. I think there might have been an issue that I gave it like a 4.5. But yeah, it's so, so good.
So good. So interesting. So fun. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, come back with issue 10, Maximal Strike Back, part 1, after this.
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about poppinoffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, poppinoffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep, Grana. Weep,
Ninibong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hey gamers, TV's Mr. Neil here. The Gaming Hipster is my personal podcast in which I take you on a journey through my history of gaming, both new and old. Each month is a new topic show in which I bring you my console memories, give reviews of my favorite video games, and talk with cool guests.
People have made cartridges. I've actually played Netflix on Nintendo.
I was making sure that I got everything. I was writing it all down.
They fixed that for the third fake prototype.
And that's the first time I remember seeing real animated boobs.
Find the podcast at geekcastradio.com or on Spotify. You can also hear a deluxe version of The Gaming Hipster at ravinghipster.com or patreon.com/MrNeil. For $2 a month, you can hear longer versions of the podcast with after-show segments and stuff too raw for the internet. You also get various topic shows, my commentary podcast, The Big Bad Movie Show, commercial-free GeekCast stuff, and more. All at patreon.com/MrNeil and ravinghipster.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back with Maximals Strike Back Part 1, Issue 10, Transformers Beast Wars from IDW Publishing. Written by Burnham, art by Burcham, letters done by Jake M. Wood. Same as the last issue. We start this issue with, I got to say, because we don't ever really do this. We haven't yet, anyway. The roll call pages, IDW has done this for years to show you which characters are going to be in each book kind of thing.
Well, this is an old Marvel thing.
Right, right. So, I understand yeah. That. I'm just saying that for those that may not know, since I have been reading IDW Transformers, they have been doing this since 2005. So we have Optimus Primal, Cheetor, Dinobot, Rhinox, Nyx, Rattrap, Scold, Razor Beast. And this is interesting. The way that this is formed, the way the page is, you have the Maximals up top, you have Scold and Razor Beast in the middle, and then the Predacons down below. So right now, they're even, but obviously Megatron, Pterosaur, Scorponok, Waspinator, and Tarantulas are all Predacons. Black Arachnia is listed as a Predacon for now. She may or may not stay that way. Who knows? But I love the fact that Scold and Razor Beast are in the middle here, and we don't know which is going to stay which or whatever. So we open up with Optimus Primal. When Ironhide sent us after the Predacon Separatists, I don't think any of us expected things to go so far off the rails.
Most certainly not.
No. He continues to say, after Nyx was captured, I decided to play it safe and stay behind our shields until we could send a transwarp beacon back to our own time. I figured we could study this planet at the same time and get something of value out of the wait. But our shields were penetrated. At least one Maximal protoform was recoded into a Predacon warrior. I was wrong to play it safe. We need to take more decisive action, and we're doing that today. Oh boy.
Primal's got some cojones now.
Yep. Of course, we have the ever-present Rat Trap and Cheetor, along with Dinobot.
The banter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, they love Rat Trap. It's not true. We defended ourselves like twice. Not bad for a science squad.
I know. Shut up, Rat Trap. He's like constantly arguing with all of them. Like, yeah. Rat Trap is like, you people are morons. I don't care.
And, you know, Dinobot goes on to say, is it Dinobot or Razor Beast? I can't tell because of this image. I assume it's Dinobot. You don't understand what's at stake, do you? The golden disc gives Megatron an incredible advantage. Yeah, but you never said how. I've already informed Optimus Primal. Inform us if we really can't avoid a fight. I want to know why. I suppose you should know. It began with an Energon collector mining an asteroid. And we get a flashback to whatever time. And we, you know, not figure out the mystery of the golden disc, but we learned about, you know, how the golden disc happened and all of that. And everything else. And one of the scientists disagreed with, well, the decision. They decided to downplay the discovery instead. One of the scientists disagreed with that decision, but the ministry would not reverse it, so he took matters into his own hands. I think that's supposed to be Megatron, but it kind of looks like, what's his name? I want to call my lawyer.
Cryotech?
Yeah. Doesn't it kind of, or is it just me? Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, fine.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think that that's what they're kind of leading towards.
I hope it is, because I think it would be, like, because, okay, so when Dinobot first starts telling the story and we see the collector found a crashed probe on an asteroid in the Upsilonis belt, and in the probe's wreckage, he found the golden disc. That doesn't look like even a Cybertronian version of Megatron.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't at all. So I am hoping it is Cryotech.
It kind of gives me that vibe, to be honest.
I hope it is. I really do.
But yeah, I mean, I'm good with it if it is. Yeah. I liked Cryotech.
Yeah.
I do like Megatron butting in, though.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I mean, it's Megatron. He's, I can do anything. I'm Megatron. Even though I'm going to stab you in the back as I steal the disc and proceed to blame it on you.
Mm-hmm.
No, but, can you help me get the disc out of the ministry? Can you help me bring this to the people? Can I help? Oh, yes. Tell me more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, it really, really is, and it's so good. We get back to Primal with another one of his long-ass speeches.
Oh, come on, let's have it. The usual Destiny and Honor speech. Speech this.
That's right. Our objectives are to hobble the dark side's transwarp capabilities, retrieve or destroy the golden disc, and do as much damage to the Predacon's equipment as possible. Now that there's at least one Predacon that can get past our security, I want them focused on cleaning up their own problems instead of causing any for us. Afterwards, we switch focus to retrieving all maximal coded protoform pods, repairing the Axelon, and keeping the Predacons contained until they can be captured and returned to face justice. And of course, Dinobot's like, you're not going far enough.
He's like, you need to kill them. Yeah, his kill as many of them as possible. Yeah. He's like, it may be easier, but it's not right.
Yeah. I love Rat Trap. That's real sweet of you, Captain, but speaking of walking, we aren't going to be expected to walk all the way over to wherever this is, are we? Seems like that'd kill the element of surprise. Don't worry, Rat Trap. It's taken care of. Follow me. And they have a new mode of transportation.
Yeah, that I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Something they didn't have before.
Yep. I mean, they technically did, even though they didn't find it until much, much later.
Well, this is totally different. This isn't
a shuttle. Oh, I know. This isn't. I like that. I think that's cool. I think that's good. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't want them to, like, if this is actually Earth, you know, when it's supposed to be, like, I don't want them to find the Autobot shuttle just yet. It's a little early for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, everybody hop in and let's go. Go, go, go. 30 clicks to get to the dark side. And we have more between Rat Trap and Primal.
I don't know. I think it's funny all the banter with Rat Trap.
Yeah.
He's just like totally not on board with anything that Primal wants. And that was kind of reminiscent of season one.
Yeah.
It, just because anytime Primal gave an order, he's like, oh, you can get your butt kicked. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. So Rat Trap is going after the golden disc. And Primal says, we'll draw their attention until your objectives are complete, and then we'll leave. Dinobot's like, easier said than done. That disc promises knowledge. Knowledge is power, and Megatron cares more about power than almost anything. I'd hate to be the one trying to take it away from him. Why don't you bugger up and kiss my skid plate, you?
That's enough, Rat Trap.
Save it for the Predacons. Like he's not one?
yeah. Crystal, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wants Razor Beast to go after Scold, and Cheetor's got a vendetta with Black Arachnia.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cheetor wants Black Arachnia, and we switch to the Predacon side, and Scorponok is walking around, idiot. What did you call me? Pterosaur. The Maximals we face when we return to Cybertron won't be pushovers. We need to stay sharp. Are you serious, Scorponok? If you want to stay sharp, let's go kill our Maximal neighbors. Black Arachnia can turn off their shields, and we can pick them off like Sharktacons in a barrel. Why does he have a coach's hat on? Oh my god.
I don't know,
god.
But I thought that was kind of cool.
That was hilarious. Use your brain, Pterosaur. They'll be watching for Black Arachnia. She'll never sneak past them again. I'm tired of this. Tired of Megatron telling us to sit around and be patient while he plays with his precious disc. I signed up for action. And, you know, it's Pterosaur, you know. Yeah. Maybe it's time
Megatron was replaced by a leader with real vision.
Is that so? I had no idea you were the sort of visionary who deserved command. By all means, tell us more. Tell us of the heights the Predacons would rise to under your leadership.
Megatron, I didn't mean...
No? You would dare keep your brilliance to yourself? If you believe yourself to be superior, you should be prepared to prove it. at all times. Yes. Prove yourself. Now. Come now. I know you've been dying to take over. Make your stand.
I didn't mean anything by it, Megatron. I'm just frustrated. We should be destroying any and all Maximals that we can. They're a threat.
Incorrect. The Maximals who are trapped here with us are weak cowards. Their time will come.
Megatron, please!
A leader must prioritize, Pterosaur. I will not waste time and energon trying to draw them out of their ship when I could be advancing my actual goals. My so-called precious disk has already shown me fragments of the future. Yes. And when it gives up all its secrets, the Predacons will enter a new golden age. Such a shame. You won't get to see it. What? Where?
And then Tarantula puts him in a little bubble.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of Orko with Cringer. At least Tarantula's got it right the first time.
Yeah.
I do love that Tarantula pulls out another device of his, you know. So, that's cool.
And then Megatron.
Tarantula, this insubordination grows tiresome.
So, Pterosaur is, partially saved. You saved me? Why?
Because if Megatron had melted you to slag, there would have been no usable parts left. Like I said, a conservation of resources.
Five clicks to target. Dinobot and Rattrap. Jeez. These guys.
I like Dinobot's phrasing, though, after the Rhinox panel.
There will be no peace until Megatron either rules or is destroyed. His ego doesn't leave room for any other options.
Mm-hmm. And we get, we are approaching the dark side. Great, set us down somewhere on the other side of the mountain. I have a better idea.
Yeah.
I made some small modifications to the craft itself.
Wait, what's that sound?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, I do. It's familiar. Everybody down.
And then all these things just drop.
All the missiles, yep.
Was anybody damaged?
What happened? What do you think? We're being attacked. But the only ones who could wouldn't. They don't. I guess you learned something new today. Now,
where's Megatron?
Dun, dun, dun. To be continued.
Primal looks like he's ready for business here.
Oh my god. He looks amazing. Like, okay, so this final page of issue 10, his face. It's Prime, but it's not Prime. Okay, it's Optimus Primal, obviously, but for those that are listening to this that aren't looking at this image, and I will most likely have to put this image in the show notes on the website, geekcastradio.com, for those of you who don't know, it looks like it is Optimus Primal, but because he has the faceplate up, it reminds me of, like, G1 Prime mixed with Armada. It's like, it's Josh's style, obviously. But that,
I love it.
No, I love it. I think it's great. Even though I'm not that big a fan of Armada kind of thing, but I'm just zooming in on Comixology for the close-up of it. It just looks so, like, it's not just, yeah, it's really cool. Really, really cool. Again, I love the art. I think the art is great. I love the story. I love, once again, we have stuff happening with the characters, with all of the characters this time on both sides. That's one of the things I said at the beginning of this, was that when I went over the, I purposefully went over the roll call sheet, because you don't just have the Maximals and Predacons. You have Razor Beast and Scold, and they didn't really get too much this issue because this was the Maximals preparing to attack the Predacons. But absolutely loved this issue.
Missed opportunity.
Prepare for battle.
Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have been funny. I don't care.
Oh, it, you're right. I'm just waiting for more. Well, that's just Prime stuff.
Yeah, where he grunts and goes,
well, that's just Prime.
Mm-hmm. It'd be awesome.
Yes.
Once well, he... what's left of him anyway?
Yeah, anyway, yeah. Again, story and art. Like, I didn't find any faults in this one.
I loved it.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It is so fun. It is so cool. I'm so happy that Beast Wars is back, even if it's in comic form, because I feel like the medium of comic books right now captures better than what animation could, because animation is tied to a time limit. If it doesn't get, if it's not popular, and comics are too, but comics you get a little bit more. Even though there's, let's say this is a 22, 23 page story for each of these issues, you still get a good story. You still get interesting characters, especially with Beast Wars, especially with the new, even like I said, between Nyx and Scold, who are the two new characters on either side, Nyx on the Maximals, Scold on the Predacons, and as we said earlier in issue 9, with, you know, the Protoforms coming down and Razor Beast and all of that, you know, it's just so good. Once again, for me, 5 out of 5, absolutely loved it. So cool.
Yep, I got to give it a 5 out of 5. I really am digging this series.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to take one final break, come back to close the show with some solicits after this.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love Infinity Call.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com. Or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... talk to me until it ends over. Then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Hey all, PR here, inviting you to come over and check out my channel on YouTube. It's just youtube.com/PR, P-E-A-U-G-H. We got Transformers for the most part. We got some action figures. Whatever really strikes my fancy and looks cool and feel like checking out. So come over here. We got some tabletop gaming now over there. But just a lot of fun. Thank you all for watching. I hope everybody's having a great time. And just come over and have some fun. YouTube.com/PAW. Thanks.
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
All right, folks, we are back here inside the pull bag, episode 460. And before I close out the actual issue, we do have, it does not say art is not final on this, but in the preview for the next issue, before we get to the maximal mailbag in issue 10, we do have an image of Scold for part 11, as it is called in this. Very, very cool. We also have in issue 10, we have Razor Beast. We have his character, his frontal, like, you know how back in issue 1 we had all the Maximals and all their character pages, like the design pages of how their characters look? We have the robot form of Razor Beast done by Josh Burcham. Very, very cool. Also have the alternate covers in this as well. But we are here to close out this podcast with some solicits. Issue 11 will be releasing, according to Comixology.com, December 22nd, 2021. Maximals Strike Back Part 2. The throwdown kicks into high gear as the mighty Maximals tangle with the treacherous Predacons. Optimus Primal versus Scold. Razor Beast versus Pterosaur. Dinobot versus Megatron. Don't miss the massive midpoint of this three-part battle royale. Yay! And then coming in January 26th, 2022. How the hell is it already almost 2022? Oh my god.
No idea.
Transformers Beast Wars number 12 releases January 26, 2022, according to Comixology.com. Maximals Strike Back Part 3 comes to a stunning conclusion as we see the Maximals and Predacons battle come to a head. Will Megatron get his way? Will Optimus be able to fight back the might of the Predacon forces? ? Dun, dun, dun. And coming February 23rd, 2022 is Transformers Beast Wars number 13. Now on Comixology.com, I've said this every podcast, at least at some point in one of the each of these episodes that we've done. Comixology is an Amazon company. Comixology's website at some point will go away, which absolutely sucks. I want to be able to stop that from happening, but sadly I don't think I can. But at least according to them. So on Comixology.com, issues 11 and 12 say art coming soon for the cover, but yet they have the cover for issue 13, even though it says on it is not final art. The art is of Rhinox in robot mode, transforming from beast to robot with his chain guns out, and you can see bullets fly, you can see bullet casings flying everywhere. I love it. I think it's friggin' amazing. So this is a very general I don't know who wrote this one. This isn't a specific, this doesn't have a story title yet or anything like that to my knowledge, but according to Comixology.com, the Beast Wars rage on. After the Maximals assault on the Predacon base, both sides are looking for a win. When an Energon treasure trove is unveiled, the race is on, and it's a good thing the Maximals have Cheetor on their side, or do they? Now, if you're going to do a Cheetor thing in the thing, why would you have Rhinoxes? And this does say IDW 13 cover B. So cover A could be a Cheetor thing. I don't know. I'm just really excited to see more of Transformers Beast Wars.
Yep, I am loving this series.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Easily one of my favorite comics, hands down.
Absolutely. Ab-so-friggin-lutely. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us here on All Things Transformers, the Beast Unleashed podcast, and the Pullbag. Where can the people find you online, sir?
They can find me on the Twitters at SCP21 or Steve Phillips VO.
I am at TFGO and Mike. You can hear all the other information in the outro. Make it your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the Pullbag. We have our So You Want to Be a Hawkeye series continuing, as we will be doing reviews of the Hawkeye series on Disney+. So that's what's coming in the Pullbag for the rest of November and throughout December. So we hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving and all that good stuff. Don't stuff yourself with too many razor beasts or rhinoxes or cheetors or whatever you're going to end up eating. Who knows?
Well, don't be a turkey. Just gobble it.
And on that note, dun-dun-dun.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.